We bless the refreshments to give us strength in our bodies.
Hello and welcome to Bless the Refreshments, where normal people have normal conversations about the gospel, making it way more fun and interesting to be a member of the church. We hope you had a great conference weekend. Today is our overview episode on the 192nd Semi-Annual General Conference of the Church. Now, we don't get into the nitty-gritties or the specifics of the talks that we liked and why. We'll get into that in our General Conference Fantasy Draft episode in a couple of weeks. Rather, we talk about the updates to the Spread Strength of Youth pamphlet, our takeaways of General Conference in general, and of course, Urgis's favorite topic, the Book of Mormon videos. Hope you enjoy the episode. Without further ado, I guess we should start. Yeah. I need to do a better intro. Let's start. Hey guys, how was General Conference? What number of conference was this, by the way?
192nd semi-annual.
There you go.
So one thing I've never quite understood. Next April, will it be the 193rd semi-annual General Conference? I assume it would be. Then would October be the 194th? I assume it would be.
Here, I will tell you.
Do you understand the question?
I do understand the question. Okay.
Does it go up every General Conference?
I was told there'd be no math.
No, it doesn't go. It goes up in cycles. So it goes up every two conferences.
Every two conferences.
You're right.
So every year, they're counting years.
Right.
Not the number of conference this would be.
Well, no, here's the thing. So there's an annual conference. And there's a semi-annual conference. So each one of them gets numbered separately. Yeah.
I didn't realize. So in April, it's going to be the 193rd annual General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yes.
Yes.
Because the annual one is the one in April.
Right.
Because that was the first one.
Right. Right. Well, how did I not know that? How have I been a member of the church for that long and for 37 years and never picked up on that?
Well, ever. If you don't know that, then conference is meaningless. And so
right, for sure
you've suffered greatly.
You're obviously not listening to the Holy Ghost, Johnny.
Obviously not. So it's that, I mean, I guess I should pay attention more to intros and outros because I'm the one that records them for our show. Would I feel if people are just skipping past it, which they probably are. It's fine. Sometimes I hate my intros because I write I say exactly what I say 3 seconds later in the actual episode.
That's what I like about them.
You like the redundancy?
I do like the redundancy.
It's a fail-safe. In case you aren't paying attention in the next 30 seconds, this is what we're going to talk about. And then I repeat it again. We learn through repetition. Actually, I like it.
Wow.
Totally changed.
Totally changed my attitude about it
real quick.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to make sure that it is the exact same thing every time, which is going to be difficult for this one. I'll have to listen to it.
So this is all the stuff that we cut out of the episode. So we say things and then we go back and forth about whether we really believe the things that we've said. And then we convince ourselves that we believe them. And then we cut all that out and just leave the first one.
Our episodes are actually 4 hours long. The uncut stuff. If you guys want the uncut episodes, join our Patreon.
Yes. Look for our Patreon.
It does not exist.
Keep looking until you find it.
Good times. Well, now that we've digressed, bringing it back, General Conference. Today is our General Conference overview, just our reactions over overall themes. We'll go into the specific talks that we liked in our upcoming General Conference Fantasy Draft, which will be in a couple of weeks. But overall thoughts. What did you guys think?
Well, do we need to do a new Standard of Youth episode?
That's a good question. Yeah, I was actually going to text you guys that, but then I forgot because
right.
It's me. Okay. What do you guys like, do you think we should do an entire episode on the new First Strength of Youth?
First Strength of Youth. What did I say? Standard of Youth?
Standard of Youth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah.
That's probably its next name. Right?
Yeah.
The Standard of Youth. If you are not meeting this specific youth, and right. It's going to have a picture of a specific person.
Right.
Here's the standard by which you need to jump over.
And I bet you they're not going to have a backless dress.
I thought about that as I read this the chapter about our bodies and dress and appearance. Well, what used to be dress and appearance. Yes, backless. Oh man, that makes me cringe so hard. If you guys don't know what you're talking about, if you're newer to the show, if you didn't hear about that, we did an episode about the First Strength of Youth pamphlet about more than a year ago. Whoa, it was last summer, and it was about, again, we talked about different iterations of the First Strength of Youth pamphlet. That's where that comes from. Not that Burgess really disdains backless dresses. At least he hasn't given us his honest feelings quite yet on that.
Right. I actually find them quite comfortable.
There we go. Now we have his honest opinion about it.
Right. But no, I think it's, I think it's great. I think we should do a whole episode on it. Spoiler alert, it's short.
It is. It's a lot shorter.
Yeah.
So.
It follows like what, like the rest of the kind of the periodicals, whatever the church publications have been doing, right? Of like guided by the Spirit, not a whole lot. There's a lot of guides in there, not a whole lot of this is right, this is wrong in there. It's a lot of teachings, you know. I really like that at the end that it relates to the temple recommended questions.
Yeah, I love that. That was great.
I thought that was really, really effective. So
I think it's interesting that, the one that I immediately read. So, backing up a little bit more, I was coaching soccer games Saturday morning, and that's when this came out. But this is one of the first talks, maybe the second talk.
Oaks was first, and then Oakdorf.
And then President Oakdorf. So we were listening to it in the car, just me and my son, and I felt kind of bad because he would like ask me questions. Like, just say, hey, Dad, like, what are we doing here? Like, but I was like listening to General Conference. I was like, oh, sorry, James, I should be talking to you too.
But you were coaching?
I was coaching soccer.
And forgot to listen and forgot to talk to
you. We were in
kids.
The car. We were driving.
Oh, okay.
To the car. We were driving to Conference of the car. I was listening to it on the radio.
Okay.
And so this is actually one of the ones from Saturday morning that I heard. And I think it's interesting that like a lot of things, like a lot of the things that are changing in the church, they're asking us to do more with fewer guidelines. If that makes sense. Like, I feel like with ministering, our stake president was like, if you're taking this opportunity to do less, then you have completely missed the point. We're asking you to do more with fewer guidelines. And I think that is interesting. So that's kind of the way I feel. Like your standards could definitely lower if by reading this. But again, if you do, I think that's you're missing the mark.
It's almost like it will be impossible to survive spiritually in the last days without the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost.
That was really profound. Did you come up with that yourself?
No, President Nelson said that, and it got quoted in this conference like three times.
30 million times, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, Precious, go.
Yes, what Ty said is true.
Just
and agree. I'm not going to do a 180 on it either.
I do like that they teach in eternal truths, and then they talk, then they do invitations. They're very general. They also talk about promised blessings. Then a few of them have question and answers. Like again, in the Your Body is Sacred section, it says, you know, one of the questions and answers are, what is the Lord's standard on dress and grooming, tattoos and piercings? And then they give a little bit more clarification on that. And then they talk about temple, how do these all tie back into the temple recommend interview questions, which I think is great.
Yeah.
So I'd like to tie this into something, one of the themes, because I when we do this episode, I like to talk about like broad themes that I heard during a conference. And this is one of my observations. So I think this First Strength of Youth revision ties into this. This might sound simplistic, and that's okay. But I felt like there was a lot of talks, more than what I heard specifically of other topics, just generally about how the gospel works. So not, you know, a lot of, and some of it is very basic, like, look, Christ is the answer, right? We heard that a lot in conference, right? But the nuance of that is, how does the gospel work in your life? What can you expect as you follow the principles of the gospel? What kind of blessings can you receive? What kind of guidance will you be given? Those types of things. How will your questions be answered? All of that stuff was broadly, you know, addressed by Elder Renlund, Elder Suarez, Christofferson, Elder Pearson, Elder Holland, Elder Cook. You know, there was a lot of that general guidance given at conference. So, and that goes along with, okay, if what we need is the Holy Ghost, then you need to learn how to use that tool in order to live the gospel better and to receive the promised blessings more effectively.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, I was kind of looking through some of these summaries, and, you know, the different apostles, they have their different ways of portraying that, right? Some go, like, have lists, you know, have steps. Yeah. Elder Gong always has steps and lists. Elder Renlund has them. But I felt that same way, and I felt another general theme to go along with that is a lot of healing, a lot of healing of broken hearts, maybe broken relationships.
Yeah.
And how the Holy Ghost helps with that, how the atonement helps with that, and the steps to take advantage of the atonement.
Yeah. I feel like another big common theme was, hey, your life as a disciple of Christ is going to be hard. Like, and that's not to, you know, belittle what you're going through, but you should expect it. Like, you should expect that when you turn to the scriptures, or when you try to align your life with Christ, with, you know, the teachings of Christ, that you are going to be met with opposition. Not necessarily, I mean, not necessarily, but definitely including, you know, from the world, but also in lots of different things. Life could get harder if you're living the, when you start to live the gospel more completely. And that's not necessarily to say that if you have an easy life that you're doing anything wrong, but you're not doing anything wrong if your life is hard and you're also very committed to the gospel. Because I think it was Elder Pearson that said that the, something along the lines of, hey, discipleship is hard because the price to pay for the whole, because the gift of the Holy Ghost or the influence of the Holy Ghost is a priceless gift. I'm like, hey, that was really good.
Oh, for sure.
There's also the talk of the taking up the cross as well. Right. So, yeah.
I feel like this was an interesting, my wife and I were talking about this as well. And she said that she felt like it was an interesting conference because I felt like this one was full of rebuke. But also it was intermingled with, like, hey, you're also doing really well. Like, you had Elder Christofferson's talk where it was like, hey, everyone belongs. And then you have Elder Bednar's talk where it's like, look, you have everything you need. It is your choice as to whether or not you put on these wedding garments to be a, you know, a real disciple of Christ. And I'm like, ooh, that was, because when I was listening to his talk, I was like, ooh, that was a rebukey talk, but I liked it.
I don't know. Maybe I feel like I've been in conferences where I've been called to repentance, and maybe I just have like a higher threshold for when I'm being called, you know, when I'm being rebuked. One seemed pretty mild to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't feel like that. Like I said, I was in the conference where President Hinckley got up and said, stop gambling.
I remember that one.
I remember that one too.
you know, and those types of things. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of what I think of when I think of a rebuke. These other things.
Rebukes. Yeah. I feel like the rebukes that I was feeling is more like general, like, hey, look, you know, be more committed to the gospel.
Right.
And maybe it's because I need a more general rebuke whereas you need to stop gambling.
Yeah, it's true.
Dude, that one hit hard for a reason there, Tyson.
It's true.
Your blackjack addiction.
It hurts. But I thought there was some other things that were pretty cool. Service is always a topic of conference, but I thought it was interesting. Elder Oaks, laid out a lot of the humanitarian aid that the church does very specifically, which I thought was pretty cool.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
And also noted that, this is a very incomplete picture. It talks about very specific, very like church-wide organized efforts, as opposed to like the stuff that church members do every day and a kind of non-organized service and those types of things. So I thought that was really, really cool.
I also like that he said that like our members are involved in very organized service as well. Like they're doing charities and MPOs that obviously aren't accounted for within church service.
And like he always does too, especially in recent years, he talks about other faiths being led to do great service, and all of this is of God and those types of things. So I thought that was really cool as well.
Can I tell you of a very specific joke that I thought of during general conference? I was very proud of myself, but I doubt that either of you are going to get it, and it's going to make me kind of sad. So Kevin Pearson, Elder Kevin Pearson,
Utah area president. Yes.
Oh, Utah area president. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So Kevin Pearson is the name of the main character on This Is Us. And he has a twin sister. He has a twin brother and a twin sister. And I said, hey, when are Kate and Randall getting baptized? I sent that to my sister and she didn't think it was very funny because I thought she watched This Is Us, fell super flat. Hopefully people out there have watched This Is Us. It was a really good joke.
I don't believe you.
I was very proud of myself.
Please send in comments about whether this was a good joke or not.
It's a dang good joke.
I've got no basis because I've never watched This Is Us. So.
Neither have I.
Is it? Yeah.
Isn't that a Michael Jackson movie?
Wait a minute. Okay, what was that called? What was that actually called?
This Is It.
This Is It. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. It's like, no, wait, no, I saw that. What was it? Yeah. This Is It. Yeah.
So, yes, that joke fell flat. Have I talked to you about the time I was mistreated at work by someone who became not a general authority, well, held general counsel? Have I told you about that?
Yeah. Did they speak?
They did.
Oh, no.
Who was it?
It was really good. I don't think that's necessary to say.
You can tell us. I mean, we can cut it out, right?
When I was working for the church, I was working as a project manager. And this person had just taken a new position. And it was like a pretty high position. But I worked as her direct report. I reported to her on the basis of projects. And this person really wanted to do a good job because they were new. The client made a last minute change and I said, okay, we can do that. But I said, hey, we're probably going to be over budget just a little bit, but it'll be okay. So we did it. It came back, went over budget, like I said, and this person, yelled at me for going over budget.
Sure.
And, they're like, there are processes for these things to be things. And the client didn't even ask for it. I was like, look. It's true. Maybe I should have done a change order, but that would have taken weeks. And then I would have been behind. Like, I would have been late on project delivery. What should I do? And this person said, that's not what they said. I was like, I have the emails to prove it. I'm not trying to show you up or anything, but here's the email chain. This is what it said. What should I have done?
Right.
And this person was like, yeah. And then the 2 or 3 days later, they said that they were taking me off of those assignments. That person kicked me off their team. I've always had this as I've seen this person not rise through the ranks, but this person has risen through the ranks of the church organization in terms of employment and then through general leadership, it just gets at me. Like, yeah. And this person's talk was really good, but it just got at me. And as this is another one that I was listening to, I was listening to, on the sideline when I wasn't a coach, but I was watching my son's game. Right. And I just thought, this person does not know that I'm still upset about this. I didn't even really know that I was still upset about this, but it just gets at me. And I was like, ugh, I hate stupid grudges. And I hate that this still bugs me. But it was, like I said, it was a really good talk. It was just such an interesting experience because, man, this happened five, six years ago. Like, it's not like it happened last month.
Right.
But yeah, so that was an interesting experience. I sustain this person. If you haven't figured out who it is, guys, it was a great talk, but it just,
I'm sorry.
Because I need forgiveness. I need to forgive this person because literally, again, you ask this person, this person would not be able to pick me out of a crowd for sure. Probably not. We didn't work together that long.
Unless it was a crowd of white people.
Which one is the Asian?
Yes.
So yes, she could pick me out. But I don't think she would, like, if we passed each other on the street, I mean, if this person and I passed each other on the street.
Yeah. You've said she a couple times.
I know. Okay. you know, we probably wouldn't, she probably wouldn't recognize me. I'm just going to say she now. It was, like I said, that was an interesting experience. Again, I don't blame her. I blame me because, again, this should not be that big of a deal. But to me, apparently it is. So that, like I said, interesting.
That's
experience.
Fun. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like not haha funny, but it's, you know, funny.
No, it's haha funny. Is it? I think it's haha funny.
Okay, cool.
I mean, as I was just kind of thinking about it for myself, I was like, man, like, this is a direct time where I can apply specific teachings and doctrine of the gospel of forgiveness. And I'm seeing all of the things. Again, it's not hurting this person. It's not hurting her. Overall, like, did it, like, derail my career and send me into poverty? Of course it didn't. Again, it just still kind of bugs me, but that's okay. Four temples in Mexico City, though, for sure. That's crazy.
It is.
Oh, and two in the Philippines.
Two in the Philippines. Yeah, I got one in Naga and one in Santiago.
Where did you serve again?
Cebu.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Both of those are north of where I'm at, but I've already got a temple in my mission, so I know there's not another one going there.
And this is probably something, the Mexico City thing is probably something they're going to be doing in other cities. This sounded like
that's what it sounds like. Yeah,
like
for sure.
A pilot, a program kind of.
I assumed that he was going to name a couple of cities.
Right.
Yeah.
That they were going to
probably just working out logistics, but
yeah.
Well, just
like, what other cities do you think? What other cities do you think will have those?
I mean, it's tough.
That don't already have them.
I mean,
Vatican City.
What?
No.
Vatican City.
Sorry, I missed it again. What did you say?
Vatican City.
Oh, the Rome.
I wouldn't be surprised to see some larger Brazilian metropolitan areas get this treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, let's see.
Do you think any in the States would have them?
Tough to say. New York, maybe.
Yeah, that's the only one I was going to say is New York.
Or DC.
Chicago.
Yes.
Possibly. Los Angeles, you could say they've already done it, really. I mean,
yeah, they've got a decent amount of temples.
In the surrounding, you know, suburbs. So I don't think Los Angeles is going to be that big a deal. When you think of mega cities, like, where do we have temples? I mean, are we going to get more in Mumbai? You know, I mean,
that could be.
I was thinking like metro areas where people don't really own cars. you know, right. Like that's why I was thinking New York and the States, because most people, like a lot of people take public transit. Mm-hmm. Like not a lot of people have a car that live in the city. Right.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I was thinking like, and then, you know, when you go outside the States, it's a lot more common, you know, to have mm-hmm. mega metropolitan areas
yeah.
where people just don't own cars.
But you also have to have a fairly big concentration of members of the church.
Right.
Because again, Tokyo is debatably one of the biggest cities in the world, but you do not have the member support
yeah.
or you don't have the member need.
Beijing there. Would be similar, right?
You just don't I was have just going to say, yeah. I was going to say Beijing or Shanghai when the church is widely accepted there.
Right. Yeah. You know, other places, like, so we've got a couple announced in the Philippines and they're around, you know, I mean, Naga's a little far south, but I mean, Santiago's getting closer to the main population. The problem is there is it's no more difficult to get around inside the city than outside the city, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so it's, to me, it's not onerous to get to any number of the temples there. So I don't think that's probably on the docket. I did think it was interesting that they're having a second temple built in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's really part of it or, sure. you know, I mean, Buenos Aires is it's not a mega city, but it's a big city.
You wouldn't call Buenos Aires a mega city?
No.
Not really.
I've been to India.
I know nothing about Buenos Aires. I just think it. Yeah,
Buenos Aires. I have been to Buenos Aires, and it's a beautiful city, and it is a big city, but it's not quite. Yeah, I think like Shanghai and Beijing and mm-hmm. and Tokyo, even like yeah. Seoul, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
But yeah, no, it's also interesting. Oh, go ahead.
I was say also Jacksonville.
Yeah, got Jacksonville. Springer was very happy about for Grand Rapids.
Oh, right.
But I'll tell you what, if I was a Lansing Saint, I would be a little perturbed.
a little rivalry there.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that they got a second temple in Michigan, but it's essentially the same commute whether you go to Grand. It's a little shorter to go to Grand Rapids from Lansing than it is to go to Detroit, but yeah, it's like 10 or 15 minute difference in commute, but yeah, right smack in the middle of the two temples. That's got to hurt. But so I feel for my friends in Lansing, but I'll tell you what though. Third temple in Michigan is going to Lansing. I'm calling it right now.
I have been to Lansing before. There's nothing there. There's the college.
Well, that's where our state center is.
We tried to look for things to do other than go to dinner and go to a movie. When right. you say go to a movie is one of the things that you should do in Lansing. It's not very exciting.
That's true. And then I thought, I mean, we didn't get a lot of buzz about this, but I thought Busan, Korea was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And,
Nigeria is getting a temple.
Yeah.
Yeah. As Busan makes me think of zombies, Korean zombies.
Yeah.
There's a movie called Train to Busan.
Yeah, that's great. There's
Train to Busan or the temple now.
Right.
You take hopefully you can take the train to Busan to the temple
right.
to have refuge from spiritual zombies.
Yes. That makes sense.
that is literally what I thought when I heard Busan, Korea.
My sister was born there.
Was in Busan?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. I guess not without getting into specifics, because the specifics yeah. will be General Conference Strategy Staff. I will say that, that again, I did the dumb thing and I checked Twitter. It was pretty quiet. Like, not a bunch of stir. This general conference. Not that I should judge that whether or not it was a successful conference or not, because I think it was a very successful conference, but it was Twitter was quiet.
That's a good thing though. Just, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
And yeah, no, it was good. It's interesting, you know, there was a lot of like on Saturday night, it only didn't even last an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last time I remember that happening specifically, it's probably happened since then, but I just remember this. I remember one time President Hinckley ended priesthood session early specifically so that we could all go home and watch the BYU football game. And I will remember that conference the rest of my life. But he was very specific. I actually don't remember who they were playing, but he was very specific so that you, not I, can go home and watch.
He made sure. Is that what he
said? Yeah, he's like, I'm not going home to watch the game. I'm just making sure you guys can.
He was funny.
He was great.
We know that that President Nelson likes to watch BYU basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's cool. By the way, how many temples do you think are in? How many temples do you think Mexico has, including the four that were announced?
Mexico? They probably have 10 at this point.
Burgess, what do you think?
11.
23.
I was closer.
Good job.
I was closer. I did not know that. That makes
23. That's a lot.
That makes sense. They're home to 1.5 million Latter-day Saints with 1,800 congregations.
That's great.
That makes a lot. That makes a lot of sense. 23 temples and for 1,800 wards. Very cool. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of President Nelson, and I would not have brought this up had my wife not not only reinforced it, but said that friends of hers were blowing up her phone afterwards about it. Got the distinct impression, and it wasn't even that subtle at the very end, that President Nelson doesn't think he's got another conference.
I thought that too,
I didn't get that, but I've heard that from like 17 other people.
Right.
So
but then again, I thought that about President Monson for a solid 5 years. I was like, oh, that might be his last one. But he rarely gets emotional. President Nelson rarely gets emotional about it. But when he said that he loved us and said goodbye.
Well, he didn't just say goodbye, right? He said, God be with you till we meet again. Very interesting choice of words, right?
Yeah. I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't think anyone else caught it. But that's interesting.
A ton of people. Now, if that, whether or not that actually happens, who knows, right?
Right.
But I did think it was
interesting, though.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like I said, I wasn't going to say anything, but then it made the rounds on my network, and so I thought it would. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, we do see him again, and this will all be a laugh about how wrong we were.
Yeah.
Yep. But he's not getting any younger, right?
No, he's not.
So he's already the oldest ever.
Let's read. I wonder if the conference talks have been published.
They haven't. You can listen to them, but they haven't been published.
I was going to say we should read it over and scrutinize his words because that's exactly what conference talks are for. Now, one thing we need to talk about, though, that I totally forgot about until now. The Book of Mormon video.
Oh my god!
Season 4.
Oh, the Book of Mormon video. That's right. Oh.
We have to tread lightly because that's a very sacred event.
What?
I said the scene in which
the event scene which the it, portrayed yeah, the is betrayal, sacred. I was like, the videos sacred. Are not sacred.
Spence will
not tread whatever. Lightly.
What did you guys think? Is that the end of the episode? No, it's not. I want to hear your guys' honest opinions, and I'm asking it so that way I don't have to go first.
I thought, I don't know. I thought it was more of the same. I thought it was, I don't know. Like, we were watching it, and I thought Amy brought up a good point and of like, I don't know how many people would just be like chilling and be like happy, like, hey, hello, brother so-and-so, hello. Like, seemed like everybody was like, just greeting each other with smiles and stuff. Their world was just destroyed 3 days ago. Lots of people died. This was not a happy time, which I think would have been more emotional, right? Like they were going through some like serious struggles, and then they hear the voice of God, right? Yeah. And the Savior comes down in their, probably one of their, literally and figuratively, one of their darkest times, you know? But yeah, it's like everybody's like, ah, so happy. Look how bright it is here. It's like, I don't know. I thought
I did
maybe bringing some emotion into it would have been helpful.
The happy vibe on it was unmistakable, right?
Yeah.
But it was also, it's hard to really judge it without context. I tend to agree with Burgess. The forceful happiness is just kind of hard to get over, right? You want some authenticity, you know, about it. Mm-hmm. I understand that the way that they want it to be portrayed is very different than it's been portrayed in the past.
Right.
I kind of personally still gravitate towards the older video where they didn't have any words, right?
The one in the Book of Mormon seminary videos.
Yeah, it was just music.
I like that one too. Yeah,
good music.
Yeah, two minute warning.
But yeah, no, it was. I thought it was good. I thought it showed a lot of the key points of it, and it didn't spoil it with dialogue, because I mm-hmm. do think that is more about what that event felt like than what was actually said. At least that's one way to look at it. I mean, like, so, okay, so we'll go into this scene in the Book of Mormon really briefly. Okay. So 3rd Nephi, when Christ comes, you'll find when you read that there's not a lot of talking by anyone except Christ. Right. So there are the words that Christ says, but for the multitude, it was largely an experience mm-hmm. that they kind of just soaked in. Right. Now, I'm sure there was words said and there was different things. There's lots of things that we don't have. All we have is an account. But if you read closely, you'll find that a great change was wrought upon the people that had that experience. And for me, it's more fundamental to portray, you know, authentically the experience that people were having rather than perhaps the words that they spoke, if any. It was probably a fairly reverent occasion, at least at times, right? And so that to me is why the old seminary video one was, I thought, very successful, because it really, I thought, conveyed the spirit of the occasion rather than focusing on the words that were spoken, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I also feel like it's hard for me to see anyone else play Jesus now other than Jonathan Rumi. I actually Tyler Tolley messaged me today. He's like, what did you think about this? And I was like, I thought it was interesting. But I think that our episode with, I'm blanking on their names.
Layman and
Lemuel.
Mason Sam.
Thank you. I was like, I didn't want to refer to them as Layman and Lemuel.
That's their characters.
They're actual people. to my credit, I wasn't on that episode, so I didn't ever get to talk to them. But
totally awesome guys, by the way. You should totally.
It is a fascinating episode.
Totally listen to the episode. They are awesome.
And it really put the Book of Mormon videos in context for me. And I feel like because we live in a life of, I don't want to say opulence, but like we want more out of our videos rather than just literally what happened, right? We want character depth and nuance and compelling, you know, storylines. But there's like, you know, like the church really wanted this to be a reference library to help supplement those who don't read well. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's okay. Like the baseline isn't for our entertainment value. It is for those, it's to be used as a reference.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that helps me give these videos a little more grace.
Right. Heaven forbid there would be any sort of authenticity or feeling when using it as a reference, right? Heaven forbid we would try to spark some sort of emotional reaction from somebody watching a spiritual video about a sacred text. We should definitely keep it very surface level.
I mean, but that's really not what the... I don't really think that's like what the intention of the video is behind it. It's to show what happened, right? And so I feel like, like I said, I can give the videos more grace. I want them to be different for sure.
Well, see, to me, like,
it's, you can do both. It's not an either. Yeah. It's not an either or thing,
right? And it's not a. And also, like, I think they're missing an opportunity. If they're going to show what happened, then show what happened. Like, have some feeling behind it. You know, it's not a, the Book of Mormon is not a history book, and I don't think these should be historical videos. Like, I think these should be authentic. I think they should have some feeling. I think they should connect to people, not like connect to us.
I still have the same opinion. I agree with you, Burgess. But the thing is, to me, I understand why the movies and other media and different things that I think could be done better are the way they are. Mm-hmm. A couple of reasons. I mean, first one is that there's always too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So there's too much at stake, and there's too many people involved with these videos for them to be good. Like,
yeah, that is what Mason Sam said as well. Yeah. It has to go through a ton of approval.
It's a camel.
Yeah.
A horse built by committee.
Right. But the thing is, it's not just that, but there's also like the underlying thing. There's a lot of, I think, rightfully so, maybe. I mean, I think there's a lot at stake for the people that are making these things, and they can't afford to take risks. Right. You could maybe.
But what's at stake, though?
I think the people who are making these videos are wanting what we want. I honestly believe that.
Yeah. Well, what's at stake is that that will not be received well by people that they are accountable to. And and that's a big thing. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So
I know a ton of video producers at the church, and they all are super creative. They don't like putting out bad work, run of the mill stuff, but they know that they have certain benchmarks to hit, or they have certain parameters that they need to keep these in, and that's the direction that they're receiving. Right. Or that's the direction that they've been told to go with. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And that this happens in every organization. You know, it happens all over the place. Whenever there's external factors that influence certain things, there's always deference to be paid to something, right? Whereas if you're a couple of people with a camcorder and some friends, you can do whatever you want.
Like, right? A podcast.
Yeah. Right?
We have the liberty to say... We don't think they're very good, but if this were a podcast owned by the church and run by the church, we would probably not say that. Well, we'd probably say it, and then we'd probably lose our endorsement pretty dang fast.
But if these were extraordinary movies, I might be questioning what universe I lived in. Did I wake up in the metaverse? Is that what happened? Yeah. Multiverse, yeah, excuse me.
It's not like I don't want them to be better. I understand them a little bit better now.
Yeah.
This one seemed way more low budget as well.
Speaking of the multiverse, others. Though, I saw the most amazing portrayal of Isaiah. So if anyone out there has Living Scriptures subscription, they do a Come Follow Me animation every week, and they totally do a Doctor Strange treatment of Isaiah. It was so cool.
No way.
I've got to show it to you guys. I'll find a way to show it to you guys somehow, but it was amazing. it was the coolest like treatment of Isaiah I've ever seen.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I think if we did that more, people would read Isaiah.
I think they would just watch the videos.
It's possible. It's true. But we haven't gotten to it. Have we done Old Testament videos? We haven't done Old Testament videos, have we?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. That's unfortunate, right?
We should do it. Let's start it. Start
the three of us.
Yes.
Yeah. A spin-off venture.
You're right.
Old Testament videos by Burgess Johnson.
We each take turns playing a prophet.
Who's going to play the donkey?
I'll play the donkey.
Excellent. All right. Overall general take. Unless there's anything specific you guys want to go over, what are your overall feelings about general conference, about this session of general conference? What did you take away personally? What can you do that you feel like you can change in your life because of general conference?
Yeah, I kind of touched on it before, but a lot of the healing of broken hearts and things like that, healing of relationships. I'll talk more specifically about in the fantasy draft, like specific talks that, but I felt a lot of it spoke right to me. It's kind of what, even if I didn't know I had a specific question or whatever, like a lot of it spoke to me in that way, a lot of healing, and ways to heal. So yeah, it's just, now it's up to me to do the stuff that they said.
Do the stuff. What if I drafted those talks first? Because you stole Kieran's talk from me.
And then I'll last probably one. Just hate you.
Well, okay. I have to weigh whether or not your hatred is worth me stealing your draft pick. What about you, Tyson?
This wasn't so much of a change conference for me personally. What I took away from this conference is my need to persevere. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the, you know, staying the course, staying on the boat, to take a term from a previous conference, that to me is the, you know, the ability to withstand the forces of the adversary that are all around us now and ever increasing. That to me is my message and what I'm trying to do more of and implement in my life.
Yeah. I think my main takeaway is that I need to make the gospel a bigger part of my everyday life. And I think that is, I mean, that's kind of an obvious thing. The gospel can always be a bigger part of everyone's everyday life. But again, I think in order for me to go on and do exactly what, I think we're heading for some tumultuous times. And we've been heading there obviously forever, but
sure.
I honestly think that life is going to get very difficult. Like there's some big things that are going to happen within our lifetimes that we're going to need really strong testimonies to do. And I thought it was interesting. There was someone, I can't remember who was talking about it. Maybe we'll talk about it during fantasy drafts, but they said that they brought up the pioneers, like what they went through. A lot of people think that, you know, like in order for us to produce joy in the gospel, it's got to be like our lives have got to be smooth sailing and things like that. But they're like, that's not what the pioneers went through. The pioneers went through so much hardship, but the joy and the unity that they felt because of the gospel and because of the church outshadowed those things. And not only outshadowed them, but it was probably a direct product of their hardships and their commitment to the gospel. And so that's one thing that I feel like I could do better is, again, we podcast, I go to church, I fulfill my calling, but like every day I need to be, you know, I need to make sure that I'm having spiritual experiences every day or that I'm gleaning things from the scriptures that I haven't before rather than just reading the text. So that's what I wanted to do. My wife and I have made a couple of goals together as a couple, and subsequently I've been trying to do that for myself as well. So that's what I'm taking away from conference.
Well, just to add to what you said, it's not just the pioneers, right? Like find an example in the scriptures and church history who just had an easy street. They just don't exist.
Right.
Because that's not how discipleship in the gospel is galvanized.
All right. Well, look forward to our fantasy draft coming in a couple of weeks. Give us some time to study up and for the talks to be published. But we will come up with a fantasy draft. It feels like we haven't done a fantasy draft in a long time. So I'm looking forward to it. In fact, I think our last one was last general conference, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're probably right. Because we took a break.
We took a whole summer off.
Yeah. And looking forward to the second coming episode, too.
When's that going to happen?
Well, what were your takeaways from General Conference? Do you agree with Burgess? What are your feelings on the updates to the For Strength of Youth pamphlet? Let us know what you think. Comment on our post over on Instagram or shoot us an email at blessthrefreshments123@gmail.com. And to catch our favorite talks, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss out on our General Conference fantasy draft, which will drop in a couple of weeks.
Please bless us to get home safely.